Deck, brought to us by Man's Best Friend and A Number One Air.
Thank you, Craig. Well, a couple quick hits before we get into the worst places to take selfies. Update on my promised weekend activity. I threatened this show that I would go out and buy a banjo. That purchase has been made, gentlemen.
Really?
Yes.
Used new.
I bought a new one, but it was at a reduced price because, you know, it...
Been on the shelf for five years.
Yeah, one of the big box guitar stores, if you know how to read their tag, you can see there's a date on them. And you can see when they put it out on the floor, put that price tag on it. And the banjo that I bought over the weekend was put on the last time its tag was updated was in January of this year. Mm. And I asked them, I said, yeah, banjos tend to sit on the shelf quite a while here. Not a lot of call for the banjo. But I've been watching banjo documentaries, one of them even narrated by Craig's old buddy Steve Martin, and learning about the banjo and practicing the banjo. Very excited. Even, I think I left it down in my truck, but I even bought a, went to several bookstores, used bookstores, to try to find banjo instruction guides, the one that was really recommended in a bunch of different sites. I found one at a used bookstore, and the cover of it is so childish. It looks like it's banjo for first graders, so I have to walk around with that.
That's perfect.
So I will try to learn that, and Giorgio, you and I can start our... Actually, the three of us can start our own Soggy Bottom Boys.
Okay.
Oh, I'd like that.
Yeah, we can do Man of Constant Sorrow. So that's update number one. Update number two is Halloween was hot last night. Did you head outside? And
I was outside during the day, yeah, but I didn't...
Well, even at night, I think the candy was melting. And I have I determined that there was a depressed turnout last night.
There was.
I don't know what it was, but there was just not as much activity on the streets for tricks or treatings.
I went to the store yesterday and bought a lot of candy, and I had four knocks on the door.
Wow.
Four. Now I've got all this candy left over.
Bring it on in.
Yeah,
we'll
George,
trick or treat.
George will graze through it. Yeah, there were just wasn't a lot of knocks on my door. And, of course, I went out trick-or-treating. I put a guitar around my neck and went as country music guy.
Uh-huh.
Tricks or treating. And everyone was trying to give away tons of candy.
Mm-hmm.
It was closeout sale all night because they had also... found that it was a depressed turnout, and so they had overbought candy.
You know, I was rationing early, giving two or three pieces away. Now I wish I would have given 20 pieces per kid.
Mm-hmm.
Not a one.
We George.
One ring of the doorbell.
Is this the first year that you've had a shutout?
Oh, no. This may be like the fourth or fifth year in a row we've had a shutout.
Yeah, they need to cancel Halloween out in the boonies where you live.
Did the catapult not work for them to, like, fly over the wall or the
No.
moat?
I think they're scared off by your guards.
I don't have guards.
You have the drawbridge down, right?
I don't have a drawbridge. No, we didn't have a one. And we've had some young kids move into the neighborhood here in the last year or so. So I was hoping, okay, maybe we'll get a ghost or a goblin coming by or someone dressed up as Zeke Elliott. We'll go with that. Sorry. And not a one.
Well, you need to make Halloween great again. You need to make trick-or-treating great again and make your home more welcoming to
trick-or-treaters. Get a rope hat and just start making a bunch of generic statements about Halloween.
Yes. But as I went around my neighborhood last night and talked to several of my neighbors that I only talk to once a year on Halloween, I was thinking... We really should do more as a neighborhood to have neighborhood events. I've lived in neighborhoods in which the neighborhood got together a few times a year, and they always had the better feel to them. You know, there's something heartwarming about the Americana of neighbors who know each other and are friendly with each other and don't just live in a cordoned-off life.
But they do, though.
And so every neighbor I talked to was like, yeah, man, we need to do something. We need to get the whole neighborhood together And I will talk with him about that same subject next October 31st.
Yep. You know, I got to say, my neighborhood was pretty good there for a while about once a month get-togethers. Mm-hmm. Every house would rotate. And I think when it came around to it being my turn, that's where it stopped.
Everything fell apart. All right, worst place to take selfies. We had a British Airways pilot that has been suspended. And I tweeted the link to this story and said that I could see Davy Lane doing something like this, my former partner on the rant. And it's the story of Captain Colin Glover, a 51-year-old man who was removed from flying duties after a series of images were uncovered by a news organization somehow that seemed to be shot in a 777 on a long-haul flight. He's wearing pantyhose, stockings, and he's posing. You can see his pants and everything down on the floorboard of the cockpit. And he really is making the cockpit again. Look at this picture of him.
I saw that.
Settle down, Captain Happy.
And they say these pictures apparently were taken on a 777 during a long-haul flight.
Wow.
They don't look like they're in a simulator.
What if his foot would have accidentally hit something?
I know. He's got his feet up on the controls, and he's spread eagle, showing his engorged genitalia wearing these women's undergarments.
Yeah, what if he accidentally would have hit the nosedive crash button?
I don't think that is an actual button.
Good morning.
What's even stranger is he in other photos, he has pornographic magazines laid out in front of him. And they're of women, naked women, but yet he is dressed as a woman, enjoying naked women. That's kind of confusing.
Seems like you're having trouble understanding him.
I am. Once
Your
again, human
really
sexuality has confused me. He has a grown son. They say that he has been, I believe, married twice. And they are investigating. He's been a British Airways captain since 1990, so he may have been doing this for quite some time. And what's really disturbing about this is someone added the detail that obviously this is when the co-pilot is gone, or the pilot, if he was the co-pilot, but the pilot is out of the cockpit at the time. So he's by himself, obviously, when he hurries up and switches into his female undergarments and starts taking these selfies.
How does he get changed before the guy comes back and wipe the lipstick off and all that?
I don't know. But if he's doing this while he's alone in the cockpit, apparently there's a rule that you have to wear an oxygen mask, a fighter pilot's mask at the time when you're by yourself.
So he's got that going too.
Yeah, so he looks real crazy.
So he's in an oxygen mask and female clothing, dressed up like Marv Albert on his day off.
That is awesome. All right, Gordo, thanks. That's the ODEX. Let's muse in the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All Pro Foundation Repair. Gentlemen, welcome to the month of November.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious?
According to my rankings, the second best month of the year, behind only December.
Thank you. And the worst month was August, correct?
Clearly.
Okay. All right, let's get you up to date in the world of the world. What do you think about them apples? Arlington Mayor Jeff Williams caught on secret audio tape. Bun dun. Or there, from 101 Dalmatians.
What?
So he was caught on tape making these remarks. Is that really accurate to say he was caught on tape? It's probably recorded on a phone.
Right.
Do we grandfather in tape?
Yeah, we grandfather in because everyone knows what you're talking about.
All right. He made these remarks during a meeting on Friday with prominent business leaders. And in his remarks, he says a lot of these, talking about people who oppose the stadium for the Rangers, the new stadium. A lot of these folks, they don't have the facts straight. Either that or they do not have the intelligence there to be able to translate that we're investing money into the entertainment district to make money. And, of course, the people who oppose the new Rangers Stadium are saying that this is just unconscionable. And I'm listening to it going, what he said, is that really that big a deal? I mean, hasn't Trump upped the rhetoric enough to where this sounds just tame and respectful?
Sure.
So
but
why are we having to make a big deal of it?
He doesn't think you know anything.
He's calling you stupid.
He's one of the elite that thinks he's smarter than good old salt and barrel of flour.
Just lining his back pocket.
He doesn't put honey butter on his old biscuits in the morning when the sun coming up feeds old grandma some buttercream corn.
Old Jeff what? Williams is probably voting for Hillary.
You can do some more political ads.
That's okay.
Okay. That idea quickly shot down. So this billion-dollar stadium, it's going to pass, right, on November 8th?
It is going to be extremely close on election night. That will be the most interesting vote to follow next Tuesday here locally.
Now, a spokesperson for the Arlington mayor says the context in which these comments were made, he was referring to not all people who opposed the stadium. He was referring to a small group of 7 to 10 people who have shown from the very beginning that facts are only optional, according to the spokesperson for the mayor.
Just a small group of deplorables.
Yes, a basket full of deplorables that are opposed to the new stadium. So on November 8th, they're going to vote on whether to extend a half-cent sales tax in Arlington, 2% hotel occupancy tax, and 5% car rental tax. And I don't know if Arlington was the first one to come up with this, but I think it's genius the way that they do these taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do the half-cent sales tax, and everybody goes,
that's nothing.
Half a cent? What are you talking about? Then you do the hotel occupancy tax, and everybody who lives in Arlington's like, that's fine. We're not paying for that.
Right.
We don't get a hotel room here in a city in which we live. And then car rental, same deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like someone else is footing the bill.
Yep. It's going to be really close, though, because there are, while I would like to see it pass just because I would like to go to a new stadium, I think that would be fun, but I don't really care. There are a lot of people on the other side that swear it's a horrible deal for Arlington. And both sides make sense to me, actually. And I think that's why it's such a close vote. I think it's going to be a 51-49 thing, or a 50.5-49.5 thing, or a 50.2-49.8 thing, or a 50.2.
Okay, yeah, we understand. It's going to be close.
I don't understand. I need more examples of figures.
I just want a 50.4-49.6 thing.
I just think that AC may win over. Just the thought of
air conditioning.
Good old air conditioning, yeah.
But don't you always get suspicious when you see that you are clearly being manipulated as a voter? Like, okay, the group that is for the stadium, the pro-stadium group is called Vote Yes! Keep the Rangers. So see, even in their title, Rangers, they built in there, like, this is not a vote about a stadium. This is a vote whether you like the Rangers.
Even though if you vote no, the Rangers are still staying for many, many, many more years.
Right.
With this lease they've got of the ballpark. And it could come up to vote again next year. A different proposal that could keep the Rangers also.
No, they got Vote Yes, Keep the Rangers. So this is about whether you want to just keep the Rangers.
Right.
Well, that group has spent $1.47 million, $1.5 million on their effort to, on their campaign to get you to vote their way. Which makes it the second most expensive stadium effort in Arlington history behind Cowboys Stadium, which they spent $5.5 million on the Cowboys Stadium to get voters to approve that. Okay, but you compare the $1.5 million spent by Vote Yes, Keep the Rangers to the Save Our Stadium campaign. They have spent, they're the anti-state, the anti-new stadium. They have spent $7,100.
That's all?
compared to the $1.5 million.
Well, yeah, they're not buying, I don't think they're buying the degree of advertising.
No, they aren't. Obviously not.
And I think they're just making poster boards.
So their campaign is Save Our Stadium, because they know that if the new proposal passes and they build a new ballpark, that the old ballpark will become a cheap mall with a Burlington coat factory as its anchor store.
Once again, Burlington, a fine sponsor. Right. They know that. And this is what I'm talking about the manipulation of these campaigns. I think a lot of times if you follow the money in these campaigns, you will find some very wealthy people at the top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And these things that are sold to us good old biscuits and pillar of salt voters is really about lining the pockets of rich people who know that they want this deal because they want the construction contracts, or they have a piece of the team, or mm-hmm. they have a piece of the stadium, or they own the land that's right next to it. There's always more than meets the eye than just, hey, do you like good stadium for clean team?
Mm-hmm.
There's always more to it than that. And it's usually some hidden players that are at work that stand to benefit considerably more than just, hey, they just like baseball.
Follow
they like
the
good
money.
Old air-conditioned baseball, the way Babe Ruth played it when he invented it.
Yeah.
He played
the dome, didn't he?
Yeah, the Yankee Dome.
Yeah, the Yankee Dome.
They tore that down like in 1940.
They built that, and then they tore it down.
Yeah.
In other news, Governor John Kasich from Ohio, he has voted in the presidential election. And did you see what he did? He did not vote for Trump, his party's nominee. And he did not vote for, or wait, is he Democrat or Republican? Kasich is Republican. Yeah. And he did not vote for Hillary, obviously. He wrote in American hero, Senator John McCain.
Oh, did he really?
Who is not one of the 18 people eligible for the presidency.
But
no vote.
Who would make a better president than either Hillary or Trump?
I think both Republicans and Democrats have turned on John McCain. I think that we now agree with Trump that he's no war hero.
I prefer people who didn't get captured.
Did you like it when Trump said that?
No.
Those were the true heroes? Come on.
How would Trump have fared in a suspended cage with bamboo shoots being stuck up his fingernails?
He would have been a fantastic prisoner. He would have been the,
oh
the
my
best prisoner.
He would have been
prisoner.
The worst.
He would have given all sorts of information. The very first thing
okay.
that was done to him.
All right. What about Hillary's emails?
Okay. That's, I guess right. we're back
my
to that.
Response there, yeah. to you being negative about Trump just then. In other news, a Halloween hayride in Mississippi turned deadly.
Uh-oh.
What?
That just doesn't sound good.
Three people died, several injured.
Did it catch on fire?
No. A trailer that was pulling this hayride, right? These people were riding on this trailer. And a vehicle struck the flatbed trailer that was carrying the people about 7 o'clock at night. Last night, and killed two kids and one adult, and seriously injured several others. Horrible. It happened in a town called Chunky, Mississippi. What?
Is that where you're from?
I am not.
I am not from Chunky, Mississippi.
No, it is a town of fewer than 400 people. So that's really sad when it happens to a small community, too. It's sad no matter what, but when you have three people from a town of 400 that died,
devastating.
I guarantee you know all three of those people if you live in that town. So, very sad story there. Have you guys been on a hayride lately?
I don't think I've ever been on a hayride.
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, I think hayrides are
around
fun.
Around this time of year, usually, yeah.
I think it's still fun. I'm always fascinated by the pleasures that transcend generations. You know, think about it. It was a big thrill for kids back in 1920 to ride on a hayride, and I think it's still a thrill for kids and adults now to ride in on something you're not supposed to be riding in. Like, even the bed of a pickup truck, I think, is probably still a thrill to kids now as it was back in 1960.
Oh, yeah.
Hey!
What do you think about that hot sports opinion?
I think you're right. I think that stuff transcends.
I think walkie-talkies still thrill kids.
Yeah.
even in the day and age of cell phones.
Probably a little less because of cell phones.
Yes, now the,
it doesn't seem like the miracle that it did 40 years ago.
I think it still seems like a miracle. It's just a miracle that's fun to play with for 2 minutes as opposed to, I don't know,
23
years. The life cycle has gotten shorter,
yeah.
But it still is cool. I think that kids are still obsessed with using crutches.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Why is that one of the things that transcends technology and generations?
I guess because kids are obsessed with any kind of locomotion outside of their legs.
That's the worst throw pillow I've ever heard of in my life.
Whether it's their first bike or tricycle or if they jump in a wheelchair or crutches or a hayride.
Do kids still think bicycles are kick-ass?
Yeah, I think when they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
That's your first ticket to freedom.
Mm-hmm. Stop playing that. I don't know if kids still think bicycles are kick-ass.
Sounds like a pretty good opinion.
A return volley.
Don't immediately rate my opinion. Give it some time to breathe. Don't yelp me immediately. 19-year-old college student from Texas A&M.
We need a Yelp site where P1s can immediately rate our opinions. Oh, yes. Wait, I think we already have that. It's called Twitter.
Twitter, yeah.
Well, like, take your throw pillow idea. What was your throw pillow idea? Kids are still obsessed with locomotion beyond their own legs.
Yes.
That needs to be rated and debated.
And then your follow-up opinion of, I don't know.
Three.
Can we talk about hot 19-year-old Texas A&M student?
Quickly.
She was arrested after rear-ending a stopped police car. Miranda Rader crashed on Wednesday night into the back of a police car. The police car had its emergency lights going at the time of the incident. So when they go to her vehicle after she rear-ends this squad car, they find her in her vehicle with an open bottle of wine that she admitted she had drunk a quarter of already, and she was frantically trying to put her bra back on. Her bra was unclasped. She did not have a shirt on. She was trying to take a topless selfie for her boyfriend at the time of the accident.
While driving.
Good Lord. She was trying to Snapchat her boyfriend, showing her future baby feeders.
Boobies her and boobies galore.
I'm very down the middle on this story.
You need to see a picture? What does it matter what she looks like? The law is the law, dude.
I just said I'm down the middle. Don't dude me. I'm down the... Can you send me as much information about this story as you possibly can?
19.
You're so trans.
Junior Miller at Mindspring.com. Just every detail
out of
you
her mind
possibly
on
have.
Wine. It's just... Let
she's
it go.
Out of her mind on wine.
Yeah, she's got to be to do that.
She only drank a quarter of a bottle. That is not that much.
That's one glass. For a 19-year-old girl, that's a lot. That's a couple of glasses of wine.
No, it's like one glass of wine. He is
okay.
Kissing and sniffing and licking
what?
The picture.
Throw that away.
I am not.
Her and that's just shot. The one bottle. She could have had more than that. You'd have to be out of your mind
he's
to do that.
Mug diving on that girl.
I am not.
All right, birthdays.
She's out of her mind on wine. You sounded
you
like
have
my
to
mom
be.
Or something.
Well, you would have to be topless doing selfies while driving.
Red wine.
You'd have
doing
to be out of your
selfies.
Mind on something.
How many girls
oh, yeah,
get...
Oh, that's normal behavior. Yeah,
how many
she's fine.
Girls get out of their mind on wine on one glass?
Well, how do you know she had one glass?
It's not a quarter of the bottle.
Of
that's the one that they
on
found
wine.
In the car. You don't think she had more than that? You would have to be
no.
to do something like that. Okay, closed investigation. I guess you got it figured out.
This seems genius like a,
do birthdays.
This seems like a weird thing for our friendship to split up over. It's all over this story. Kinky Friedman, the Ticket Zone. He's 72. Wrote The Wild Man of Borneo.
I like him.
Yeah. Lyle Lovett, 59. Ticket Zone.
Like him.
We met Lyle Lovett. Came in studio, didn't
yep.
he? Yeah. Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers, 54.
Greatness.
Drummer Rick Allen of Def Leppard is 53.
The one arm guy.
Mm-hmm. We can just call him the drummer.
We'll
sir.
Say happy birthday.
Doesn't matter whether or not he has two arms or half that number. Yeah, but you are correct. One of his arms was buried in an arm coffin about 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sophie B. Hawkins is 52. Rapper Willie D. of Ghetto Boys is 50. Actress Jenny McCarthy, 44. American Idol runner-up Bo Bice is 41. Matt Jones of Breaking Bad is 35. Penn Badgley of Gossip Girl, 30. Fernando Valenzuela, 56.
Greatness.
And Gary Player turns 81 today.
Wow, greatness.
More greatness.
He is 81.
Happy birthday.
Wow. All right, thanks. That's Muse. First, it's Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Load Bearing Wall Pros. And that's it.
Oh, thank you, Load Bearing Wall Pros. Okay, we didn't get to do it yesterday because we had a Cowboy game to talk about. But we can do it today. It's time to talk Halloween.
The Day of the Dead.
No.
What? You don't want me to do the whole segment in that voice?
No.
So many things to talk about when it comes to Halloween. Scary things that have happened to us. Best and worst Halloween candy. The strangest experiences we've ever had with the dearly departed. I figure first we'll start with something that is not as scary. Best and worst Halloween candy. Best Halloween candy is the Twix. Second best is the Reese.
Basically, it's just what is your favorite candy.
Right.
Those are not specific to Halloween.
Right. Worst Halloween candy, box of raisins. Dots and Sixlets.
I think you have dramatically overrated the Twix, but
turn off
gooey.
His mic, Expo.
A little too gooey.
The Twix? It's not gooey at all. It's crunchy. It's crunchy goodness.
You sure about that? I thought it had some goo in there.
You're sure
of
the rose.
The gooey caramel in there.
So on somebody's list, they had caramel apples as top Halloween candy. No.
I hated getting those.
It's just a beating to eat. You don't want that. And the worst Halloween candy of all time, the black and orange wrapped candy, as I announced here yesterday. It is the worst of all time. Okay, spooky stories. You remember that time we did spooky stories here on the air? People on Reddit saying the creepiest things that children have said to them.
Yes. Yeah. God, that was really, really creepy.
It's so creepy. Things like kids talking about murder when they've never been introduced to that concept. I mean, like, you know, three-year-olds, things like that. Mm-hmm. People, some three-year-old looking at the picture of the black and white picture of the great-grandfather in a service uniform and saying something like, "Oh, that's the man who watches me play across the street from the playground all the time."
Mm-hmm.
Why did you make that noise?
Because I'm spooked out.
No, that means there's something to it. That noise is always
I don't know.
Confirmation
so
or
there could
a,
be. No, I've never had an experience like that.
I think there's something to that.
You do?
I need to get the story from my neighbors. They told me the story about their, I think at the time, 2 or 3 year old daughter who said something that it was absolutely impossible for her to know about a relative that has passed away, but same kind of thing. She saw him or her every day in the playroom. I need to get that story. I totally believe in that stuff.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. You know,
kids throw out a lot of crazy stuff, though. They could it could be coincidence.
Yeah, but the details were so specific about this story, about what she said, that it's, I would think, almost impossible for it to be coincidence. Now, it's one thing just to point at a painting and say, "That's the man that watches me at the park," because maybe that kind of looks like a neighbor that is at the park
right.
or not. But there are other stories that they're so specific in their details that it would be impossible for this kid to know.
All right, you want some of the things that parents shared on Reddit that their kids had said to them?
Sure.
Okay. Recently, my son said this. Now, he always says odd things, and usually they're funny, but this one threw me for a loop. He's 8. I was telling him how much I love him and thanks for being in my life, and he said, "I didn't choose this life. I couldn't control how it began. but I can control how it ends.
This wow.
Whoa. An 8-year-old. My friend's 7-year-old kid pretended to put me in jail, and our conversation went like this. Me, what did I do? Forget to brush my teeth? Didn't do my homework? Her, you murdered a 23-year-old woman while she was jogging in the early morning.
Oh, my God.
There were other ones. Some of them aren't really paranormal, like saying the 3-year-old son, parents said, what would you do if we had another baby? And the son said, I'd kill it.
Oh, jeez.
That's awfully creepy, but still.
You might want to get rid of the first baby at that point.
Still not paranormal. This one, parents said, I was with my sister, her husband, and their 2-year-old daughter. Oh, the person said this. We were talking about loved ones that had recently passed away. My father had died sometime recently. My brother-in-law
and passed away.
My brother-in-law went and grabbed a picture of his mother, who had died in a car crash when he was 6, to show me. And when my niece saw the picture, she started laughing. We asked her what was so funny, and she looked at us and said, "That's my special friend who sings to me."
Creepy.
It's so creepy.
Creepy.
Oh, my gosh.
Creepy.
That one gave me chills. Because the wording of it, the fact that it's my special friend who sings to me, the singing, and there's always the singing element to the kids being haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have the pretend friend growing up?
Are you talking about?
You know, when you're little, say, oh, this is my friend so-and-so.
No.
You never did that? Two of my kids did that, I think.
I mean, I had my pretend teammates on my Amarillo basketball team.
No, not like that. Just kids. Oh, yeah. So-and-so's with us now. He's riding with us to the bank. Oh, really? Well, tell him I said hi.
It's a little weird.
When my younger brother was around 4, he had an imaginary friend named Victoria Meadowbrook.
Lovely name.
She was the prettiest girl ever, and she floated above his bed at night to watch him.
Did they ever look up that name and see if it was someone who died in their neighborhood?
Does not say here. My son from the age of 3 always tells me about the creeper man who lives in my mom and dad's bedroom.
Gordon Keith.
He brings it up after he visits them, and I made the mistake of asking him what the creeper man looks like. And my son said, oh, he doesn't have a face.
God. Man.
I was sound asleep. Around 6 a.m., I was awakened by my 4-year-old daughter, her face inches from mine. She looked right into my eyes and whispered, I want to peel all your skin off. My daughter said to me that there's a woman who watches her movies in her room and sleeps on the ceiling above her bed when she sleeps. She also says that the woman does not like me and wants to eat my heart. My kid watches Elmo and Dinosaur Train. Where the hell did she get this from? I jokingly asked, what's the best way to get a girlfriend? And my 7-year-old's response was, tell her to be my girlfriend or she'll never see her parents again.
Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Before I was born, I had a sister. Her and my mother are so old now. They were okay when the car... Oh, this is what a 5-year-old said to this person. The 5-year-old says, before I was born here, I had a sister, right? Her and my other mom are so old now. They were okay when the car was on fire, but I sure wasn't. This is a 5-year-old saying this to his now parent.
Wow.
As if there was a past life in which they died in a car fire, while the mom and sister were fine. Mm. My 5-year-old at the time had night terrors and would scream in her sleep. One night I said, "Mama's here, it's okay." And she looked right at me and said, "Okay, but who is that behind you?"
Creepy. Isn't this like a fascinating glimpse into the human mind that we also experience as adults? You ever wake up from a dream and think, wow, I was speaking that language. I can't speak that language. Or yeah. I was talking fluently about a subject that I know nothing about. Isn't that weird what we've got in the far reaches of our brain?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and do children perceive things that we lose the ability to perceive as we're adults?
Yes,
like,
I bet they do.
Do children see things that we don't because they look at the world uncritically,
mm-hmm.
and therefore their mind does not edit out things that do not make sense?
Right.
The way our mind does. And it is so strange. Do you guys ever watch a show called Brain Games?
Mm-hmm.
I love that show.
Never heard of it.
Well, it kind of looks at the way our brain makes so many mistakes in thinking. And a lot of them are evolutionary and adaptive. Because our mind has to make shortcuts in order to evaluate all the information that it receives during the day, to the course of our life, right? And like one of them, for example, is they'll show a ring of basketball players, right? Like 6 guys in a circle. And they're bouncing the basketball back and forth, you know, passing it to each other, bounce passing it. And they'll tell you, okay, now here's the challenge. You need to count how many times the ball bounces on the floor. And you watch it, and, you know, you say, hey, it's 8, you know, and your buddy clearly says 9. Another buddy says, no, it was 8. Another one says 7, right? And you're all debating this.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, then they'll ask you, okay, well, how many of you remember what jersey the gorilla was wearing?
Mm-hmm.
And you and all your buddies are like, that's a non sequitur question. Makes no sense. And I say, okay, let's watch the video again, and this time don't count the passes. Don't count the bounces. And you watch, and lo and behold, same footage, all of them in a circle, throwing the basketball back and forth. Guy in a gorilla costume walks right into frame, stands in the middle of the circle.
Really?
Holy cow.
Shrugs at the camera, keeps on walking outside the other side of the frame. But
never
because
noticed.
You are focused on yeah. something, you don't notice what is clearly the most noticeable thing in this footage.
And the kid would have noticed.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Last night, I know that we're about to go, but last night before bed, I watched the first half of Poltergeist to see if it held up.
And?
Does hold up.
Love really? That movie.
I think so. Years. And I would love for you, Giorgio, how old's your youngest now?
16.
Ah, see, he's getting a little old. He may SG it because it does have some bad special effects in it.
Mm.
But will you show him that as an experiment and see if that holds up as a scary movie?
All right.
I'm always fascinated as to what holds up between generations as frightening, despite the limited.
He's got a pretty high meh factor.
He's high. He tests
he's
pretty high for meh.
On the meh scale, yeah. He'll meh just about anything.
What about, all right, you need to show him Jaws. Your first two were so scared of Jaws, they made you turn it off.
Yeah, I can't remember where he stood on Jaws.
Because I'd be curious to see if that still holds up to the 16-year-old who has tested so positive for meh that he should be imprisoned.
All right, thanks. That's The Corner.